I make my boast in Christ, what he has done, what he can do, in his power, in his doings.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't mean self-pride and personal pride in my accomplishments. That's evil. You know, I think that our modern usages have kind of crossed up with the Bible, because the Bible definitely tells us to, whatever you do, do with your might. I remember as a kid, you know, they're telling us to take pride in our work.
And being kind of confused, because I thought of pride as being evil.
But I realized after a while that they didn't mean
that you should take an inflated view of your own self-worth, necessarily. Though I suppose for some people it did end up that way.
What they meant is that you should really try to do a good job. Don't just be like, what I do doesn't matter, and do a sloppy job. You know, you think, what I do does matter, it's important. Because why? Because God has chosen me. Because Christ has put his name on me.
I do not want to bring dishonor to the name. So I carry it with a certain sense of respect, with a certain sense of propriety, with a certain sense of this is valuable. It's not about self-import. It's about giving him his due.
It should inspire in you humility. I don't like to use the word pride, though I've used it several times.
Don't stumble at the semantics. Don't stumble at the different ways words can be used. I could dig up stuff from the Proverbs and be a proud man this, and a boaster. A boaster? Who likes a boaster? You like a boaster? Well, Paul says, I make my boast in Christ. I boast. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. But he's referencing himself. That's Romans 3.
You want to be particular about your garments. You don't want to get them stained and spotted. You want to keep sin out of your life. That's what we seek. That's what we pursue.
You know what I say? Take pride in the garment that Christ has given you. Keep it clean. Like Marines with their guns, you know, keeping them clean, keeping their boots shined. Keep your garments unstained. You take pride in that garment because it is Christ's, which he has given you. This is given me from Christ. Not because of your accomplishments. You don't say, oh, I'm proud of it because I got this because of what I earned. That's nonsense. It's not directed at your accomplishments, but because of who he is.
Verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There's the garment again mentioned. We will walk with Christ in white. He walks in white. We will walk in white with him because we will be worthy. We all know we are not worthy of him. We are saved by grace. But part of our salvation is that he teaches us through the Spirit of God how we ought to walk and how and thing and makes us worthy persons. You know, like when I was a child, I didn't know that you shouldn't put your hand on a hot stove, but quickly learned, you know? And though I can't erase it from my history that I was once a foolish child, I'm now not a foolish child, but a man. Sometimes a foolish man, but definitely much improved. And though I will never have the worth in me to deserve God giving me his grace, by his grace he will prepare me that I may wear the robe as a worthy person. Not merely, a lot of times people think, well, just because you have faith in Christ. Is that just really it? Just open sesame? You just get the magic word and you're just in? Well, it is true that, you know, we are saved by faith. In that salvation, he changes us and helps us and teaches the way we ought to walk. He teaches us how we ought to behave ourselves in this world, because in this world we learn how to walk so that when we are with him in his kingdom, we will be worthy persons. We'll have put the past behind us, learned how to overcome sin, not yield to temptation. Because you know what? I mean, some people's vision of heaven. I remember watching that guy who was once the president of the evangelicals who got busted for
soliciting,
I don't know, sodomy in the park or whatever. He was talking about heaven, and he's like, heaven's like a big buffet where you can eat as many pastries as you like and never get fat. Does he really think that's what heaven's like? Because let me tell you something. If you think that heaven is a place where you're basically that kind of attitude is no different than the Muslim attitude of 40 virgins. Heaven is a place where you get 40 virgins. You can have as much sex as you want. Heaven is a place where the food is so awesome. You can just eat it as much as you want and never have any consequences. It's not sin anymore. Is that heaven? Do you believe that? You're an unworthy person. You can't go around in heaven making a pig of yourself.
What's your view of sin? I mean, why does God ask us to be temperate? It's because he is temperate. He values temperance. He values self-control. He doesn't just lay these rules on us while we're weak human beings and susceptible to sin, only to just say, hey, remember those restrictions I put on you while you were on the earth? Well, they're all gone. You can just yield to temptation. Well, at least the temptations of the plate. I think these people have had way too many potluck Sundays.
You can't go around the kingdom of God behaving like a glutton. Why do you think self-control is important to God? Because God has self-control, you know? You ever notice how he doesn't just smite us with lightning bolts every time we do something he doesn't like? He has self-control. And I tell you what, if he's going to share with us the divine nature, he's not going to want us running around blasting lesser beings with lightning bolts. And it makes a lot of sense, you know? But he wants to share with us a certain level of his divine power to bring us up in such a way, like a baby growing up, so that we are able to control ourselves from within ourselves, from what he's put in us, no doubt, but so that it's like we don't have shackles on, keeping us from doing the evil things. That if we have shackles, figuratively, you know, they're, you know, the way like a man might be shackled to his wife in love. People tell me love is a choice. I'm like, I don't know about that. I can't help loving her. And so also righteousness can be a shackle when you love it. You have to do it. It's like a compulsion, just the way sin was a compulsion. You had to do it because you couldn't resist it. When our minds are changed, when they are renewed in Christ, we become much the same way except for righteousness' sakes, and that's a very blessed state to be in.
We learn to be worthy now so that we will be worthy then. You know, all this is for a purpose. The gospel of the kingdom, the things that it says that this is how it ought to be, it's not going to suddenly change when you get there, like, okay, cast off all restraint. Walk unworthy. Just party. Stuff your face. No consequences. As we have borne his image in the earthly, so shall we bear his image in the heavenly. As we have walked uprightly in him in the world, so we will also walk uprightly in him in the kingdom.
Christ will not blot out our names out of the book of life. He will confess our names before his Father and before his angels. Yeah, I know this guy. This is my faithful servant, John. This is my faithful servant, Fred. I know him well. His name is written here in my book. Let him enter into thy kingdom. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The Spirit of God is in me. And if you have received him, he is in you. And even if you haven't received him, if you have faith in him, he is with you. And he will give you his Spirit